This text, Manashodhanam, talks about mental purification, and as we have heard many times, you need to purify your mind to evolve spiritually. And we also heard about the impurities of the mind. What is the dirt that I have to clean? And that is anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, arrogance, selfishness. And through right understanding, I have to eliminate these negativities and fill my heart with love, compassion, kindness. And then we had also heard that you and I, we are not able to overcome these problems. Either it's because the world is bothering me, giving me problems, or my mind is giving me stress. And you say, it's not possible. You know, as a human being, it's just not possible. I've tried. But then they said, look at the example of the wise people. Look at Jesus or Buddha or Guru Nanak or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda, all these great saints and prophets and men of God. They lived on this earth and they dealt with the world as much as you and I do. In fact, they had more problems with the world. And they also had the same mind. They also had the same emotions. And still they are able to not only survive, but actually be happy despite all the problems. And not only that, but then they become a source of joy and happiness for the whole world. 2,500 years after Buddha left, he still is inspiring us. Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. Swami Chinmayananda, who preached this message, left his body in 1993, but his mission continues to grow and people continue to use his ideas and his teachings, and that's why we have so many of these, 300 of these missions throughout the world. So how are these great men or women of wisdom able to do that? Able to handle their own mind and the problems of the world. So last week we studied the concept of ignorance or maya. Because I am ignorant of my true nature and I'm ignorant of what the other person is, really is, so I project upon him or her certain preconceived notions and ideas, and then that's what creates problems. It's a difficult concept. I talked about it for half an hour. I won't repeat it, but if you wish to revise, you can go to the website. Just Google Talks by Dr. Anil Mehta and you can listen to these talks. So today we shall continue that topic of ignorance. Last week I had to teach you about Maya, which was hard enough. Today we have to discuss even a more difficult concept, and that is that the world is not real. So if I can convince you, you guys are saying, forget it, don't even try. But anyway, there are three ideas that we have, which we shall try to clear out. One is that we think that the world is real. This table is real, this chair is real, she is real, he is real. Then I say the world is separate from myself. I am separate from her, him, I am separate from the dog, the cat, the tree, the moon, the sun. They're all separate. They're not part of me. And the third fallacy we have, that the world is the source of joy and sorrow. Can everybody see this board? You can see it. So there are three fallacies in our thinking. The world is real. The world is separate from myself. And the world gives me joy and sorrow. So let us see if I can convince you of that. I'll try. So verse number 15 and page 29. Satya buddhiryada drishye svatmano bhinnata tatha sukha buddhistada tasmin dukh buddhirhi vabhavet buddhirhi vabhavet. So he says, yada drishye. Drishye means that which is seen. So whatever, not only seen, when they say seen, they also mean that which is heard, which is smelt, which is tasted, which is touched, which is thought of, which is felt. So this is just using a term. So that means the whole world, because I can see the world, I can hear the world, I can taste it, I can touch it. I can feel it with my emotions. I can think about it with my thoughts. So whatever the world that you see, satya buddhi, if you think yadadrishya, if you think this world is real, satya buddhi, satya means truth, it is real. And second fallacy, sva atmano bhinnata tatha, and tatha means and, he says the world is real, and sva atmanaha, from me it is bhinna, it is separate. So I first think the world is real, and I think the world is separate from myself. And then what happens? Sukha buddhi tada tasmin. Sukha buddhi. And then I say sukha buddhi. That means this world, tasmin, in this world, that I'll have joy. Sukha buddhi. The world will give me joy. Or dukha buddhi. Va bhavet. Or that it gives me sorrow. So first let us understand what we mean by real. Now, when I say the world is not real, nobody will believe me. They'll say, what do you mean the world is not real? I'm sitting on this chair, which is real. My pain is real when I get hurt. And somebody, you know, doesn't love me, my sorrow is real. So what do you mean by the world is not real? In Vedanta, in our spiritual studies, our understanding of world is, understanding of real is something different from what is the normal English. When they say something is real, what they mean is it is there in the past, present and future. Was there, is there and always will be there, will never change. Not only it will be there permanent for all times, but will never change. That alone is real. Anything that is changing, anything that was not there in the past, is there now, and will not there be there in the future, we consider as unreal. Like this, you know, like this table. It was not there before. It was in the ground as some metal. And then, you know, they dug the metal from the ground and then made the bars and then made this table, and this table appeared. So 10 years ago, this table was not there. It was as a metal in the ground somewhere in the mines. And say a few years from now, the table gets rusted and gets old, and then, you know, we'll discard it and it will go into some trash heap. So again, then maybe it will be compacted into the metal may be used. So the table was not there 10 years ago, is there now, will not be there in the future. I was not there, you know, a few years back, I was not there. Then I appeared on this earth, and then a few years later again I will be gone. This whole universe, was it there forever? No. The Bible tells us, the Bhagavad Gita tells us, the scriptures all tell us, and even science tells us that there was nothing, there was emptiness. And then there was this Big Bang, as physicists call it, and science and religion calls it as creation, that God alone was, and so he decided to create this world. Or physicists say there was the whole universe was the size of a grapefruit. They actually say that. And then there was this Big Bang, and then this whole, all these planets and stars and everything appeared from that compacted grapefruit. So I can understand how that is, but that's what they say. But whatever is, the universe was not there billions of years ago, and then it appeared. Whatever way you believe it, whether Big Bang or God created it or appeared or whatever. And then all the scriptures say, the Bible says there will be 40 days of rain and night and the earth will end. Even our Hindu scriptures say that pralaya will come, where the whole world will end and merge into that one infinite reality from which it appeared. And even physics says that in a few billion years from now, the sun will end, the energy in the sun will end because it will burn itself out. And then all this solar system will collapse into one mass of nothingness. We will all collapse into that sun and we'll be all dead. And same thing will happen to all the stars in the universe, and everything will end and become that one big black hole. So the universe was not there, appeared a few billion years ago, and then a few billion years it will go. So what is permanent is to be understood, and then what is temporary to be understood. Like to give an example, there is mud. Mud is real, I mean relatively speaking. And then from this mud, I create a pot. And the pot now appears real. Why? Oh, I see this beautiful china vase, you know, with all the colors and gold trim. But it appeared from mud. And then the pot happens to break. I drop it. And the pot again becomes into 1,000 little bits. And then I throw it out. So it goes back into the mud. So when the pot was there, the mud was still the same. The mud was there. It became the pot. And then the pot broke and again became mud. The pot was created and broken, but nothing happened to the mud. The mud is the same, whether the pot was there or pot was not there. So the mud is real in this example. The mud is real. The pot is unreal. It is an appearance. And when the pot breaks, it becomes again that real mud. So the mud is real. The pot is unreal. This reminds me of a very beautiful story. There was this man, he was a multimillionaire, very rich, and he loved gold. So what he did, he bought a large number of gold bars and coins. And he said, you know, I need to make something beautiful out of this gold. He had maybe 3-4 pounds of gold. So he said, you know, he loved his palace. He lived in a big palace. So he brought the goldsmith. He says, I want you to make a tiny model, about a pound of gold, into a model of this beautiful palace. The goldsmith said, yeah, sure, if you're paying me. So he made a little model of his palace. Then a few days later, his horse died, his very beloved horse. And he had a painting of this horse, you know, with a picture and all. So he called the goldsmith. I said, I want you to make an exact replica of what my horse looked like, because I love that horse. Goldsmith said, sure. He looked at the picture, made a beautiful gold replica of that horse. So he had his palace on one side, his horse. And still he had a pound or so of gold left, a lot of gold. He was a very religious person. So he says, you know, I should make something of Jesus because, you know, I love Jesus. So call the goldsmith back. I want you to make a beautiful replica of Jesus on the cross. It should be prettier than these two. He said, sure, I'll make it. So he made a beautiful Jesus and he put it on the wall. It looked very nice. And he was very happy. It so happened that a few years later, his business went down, the stock market crashed, he was into the housing market, the houses market collapsed, everything went to pot, 2007, and he became poor. And now he had to sell his house. So he had to sell his house, he had to sell all his businesses, he had to foreclose, he went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy, you know. And he had no money. So only thing left was those 3 gold pieces, which he had kept safely, aside. So he was so poor that he didn't even have, you know, money to rent a house or even buy clothes or food. So he said, I have to sell it. So he goes to the market, to the goldsmith, the same one who had made it. And he said, how much for this house? He says, well, gold is $1,600 an ounce. So I'll pay you so many $1,000. And so he paid him for that. So after some time, he needed money again. So he says, now I have to part with my dear horse. So he goes for the horse. He says, how much for this horse? $2,000 an ounce. Gold has gone up. So I'll pay you $2,000. He's very happy. I got so much money for my horse. A few days later, he needs money again. So he very reluctantly pulls down the Jesus. His tears are running down his eyes. He's so sad because he has to part from Jesus. And he goes back to that goldsmith. So how much for this Jesus? I hate to sell it, but my wife and kids don't even have food. He says, for this Jesus, I'll pay you $1,400 an ounce. He said, what? You know, for the palace, you paid me $1,600. For the house, you paid me $2,000. For Jesus, you're only paying me $1,400. He says, well, sorry, gold is gone down in value. It is $1,400 an ounce. He says, yeah, but you don't understand. This is Jesus. And it's not my horse. It's not. Goldsmith says, look, I don't care. For you, it may be a house. For you, it may be a horse. For you, it may be Jesus. All I look at is the gold. Because I have to then turn around and melt it and sell it. And so I'm going to pay you the value of the gold. It does not matter. The name and form does not matter to me. So the moral of this story is that we so much focus on the name and form. This particular individual is dear to me. This particular object is nice. This particular. And we give so much reality that I like this person. I hate this person. This person is better because, you know, he belongs to my religion or he's spiritual. This person is bad. So we focus on the name and form, but the wise person, like that goldsmith, all he was interested in was the gold. He didn't care. He said, whether you bring Krishna or you bring Jesus or you bring Buddha, it doesn't matter to me because I have to sell the gold. So he focused on the gold, which is the substance of, and he did not worry about the name and form. So similarly, you and I'm not saying that one should not revere Jesus or Buddha or Guru Nanak or Krishna. That's not the point. But one has to understand that all of this, whatever you see, this chair, table, everything is name and form. And there is only one reality. And that's why we say the world is not real. The world is an appearance. There was this reality, you can call it Brahman, God, consciousness. And on that consciousness appeared this world. So are you a little bit convinced now that the world is not real? Little bit? Okay, thank you. Now we shall say the world is separate from myself. Say, that I don't, you cannot sell me that. I wasn't born yesterday. But the... But think about it. When we see the world, what is the world? Or say, what am I made of? Well, you say, well, I'm made of flesh, blood, skin, bone, marrow. But what is the basis of everything? So they say the basis of everything is atoms. Or if you look at the spiritual text, they say the basis of everything is five elements. We are all made of five elements: air, space, fire, water, and earth. Earth, so air, space, fire, the heat, the water, and earth. And all of us, whether it's the chair, or whether it's the human, or whether it's the plant, or the dog, or the cat, all of us are made of the same five elements. There is no difference between me and a horse, or a plant, or even a rock, if you look at the substance. Or if you say, I don't believe in these five elements, I believe in science. Okay, then each one of us is made up of atoms. And it is the same atoms that make up the whole creation. Scientists tell us that you are made of atoms. This chair is atom. This picture is atom. This building is atom. The tree, everything is atoms. So whether you believe in the five elements or whether you believe in atoms, we are all one. There is no difference. Yes, there is an appearance, again, a difference in the name and form. Somebody is a man and somebody is a woman and somebody is an Indian and somebody is an American and somebody is Muslim and Hindu and Christian. But in reality, we are all made up of the same five elements. We are all made up of same five elements. We are all made up of the same atoms. There is no difference between anybody. So, how can you say the world is separate from myself when we are all made up of one? How can, when I am exact, if there are two leaves next to each other, they cannot say I am separate from this leaf because we are made up the same element. We came from the same tree. We look exactly alike. We have the same shape. Or if you believe in God as the creator, then you say, well, this heavenly Father created all of us with love, with extreme love and compassion and kindness, and sent us here as his children to do his work and to realize him, to become one with him. So how can I consider myself separate from all? Because they are all children of God. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all one. So the world cannot be separate from me. It cannot be, because of all the scientific reasons, the spiritual reasons, the religious reasons, the world is all one. And then the third one, that the world is the source of joy and sorrow. Now, how do we say that something gives me joy or gives me sorrow? We say, joy is in the object. You eat a, you know, chocolate, gives joy to everybody. So the joy is in the chocolate. Or, you know, this person I love so much and she gives me so much joy. Or this particular, you know, money or this position or power. But if the joy was in the object, then the object should give equal joy to everybody, right? If the joy was in the chocolate, then it should give equal joy to everybody. But how about a cigarette? Now, a person is smoking a cigarette, and he exhales. Ah, he's so happy. You can see his face light up. And then the people around are, get it away from, go outside and smoke. So that same cigarette gives so much joy to one person, and even his nearest one, the wife, says, please go out and smoke. I can't stand the smoke, and it makes the children get asthma. So if the joy was in the cigarette, it should give equal joy to everybody. Right? But one person gets joy, other person gets hatred. Why? Because it's my mental perception of that cigarette. One person loves it, other person hates it. One person wants to divorce his wife. You and I are incompatible. I filed the papers. I can't wait till we get divorced. And the other guy on the side, he's a secret admirer, and he says, I'm waiting for this girl to get divorced so I can marry her. And he has been, secretly they have been meeting and all. So the same woman, that one person can't wait to get rid of her, another one says, the day you get divorced, darling, we're going to run off to Las Vegas and get married. So the joy is not in her or the sorrow. It is my perception of, my mental image. So if the joy was truly in the object, like I said, it should give universal joy. It is not in the object, it is in my mental perception. And the world also, being unreal, cannot give me permanent joy or sorrow. I'll tell you another little story. There was this man who went to this person's house, was invited for lunch, and it so happened that he showed up a little early, and the husband had gone to the store to pick up some beer, because this man loved beer, so he had gone to the store. And so this man shows up, rings the bell, and the wife says, oh, come on in, my husband Joe is just gone to the store. Have a seat, relax, and I'm just fixing some lunch very quickly, so I'll be with you in 5-10 minutes, or Joe should be coming. So just have a seat. And he said, I'm sorry, I know I came early, so it's okay. No, don't worry, I'll just sit in the sofa and relax and watch TV. So he was doing that. And suddenly on the table, he saw some beautiful fruit, an apple and pear and banana and some grapes, a bunch of grapes, and then one little grape separate on the side. And he was very hungry because he hadn't had breakfast, he hadn't had time. So he said, you know what, let me have at least a grape while I'm waiting for them. So he picked up the grape and put it in his mouth. And he bit on it. He said, oh my God, it's terrible. It was wax. People have this wax fruit, a lot of people have. And so now he can't even hide it. He can't put it in his mouth. He spits it out. He's looking for a Kleenex. He finds some and quickly puts it in his pocket because he didn't want the hostess to know that he had bit into this wax grape, and he was extremely embarrassed. Now, having known that this grape is unreal, will he ever have any love for that grape? Will he ever say, today this grape is wax, but tomorrow it will become a real grape and give me joy? No. He knows it is unreal, so instantly he gets detached. First, he had so much attachment. Oh, this sweet grape I am putting. Instantly, he's instant detachment. So similarly, once you know that the world is not real, it is just an appearance, then you do not get too much attached, do not get too much dependent on the world to give you joys and sorrows. Or do not think that today the world is giving me sorrow, but tomorrow, only if my husband were to change, I would be happy. Try as much as you can. He's not going to change. Only if the weather got better. It's raining, but tomorrow if the sun came out, then I... the world will keep on changing. The weather will keep on changing. The people will keep on changing. Objects will keep on changing. But understand that this world is not real. It is an appearance. It is a projection. So do not look for permanent joy in temporary things. The world is temporary. The people are temporary. The situations are temporary. So if I want temporary joy, yes, I will get it in temporary things. But if you ask somebody, do you want temporary joy or do you want permanent joy? Will anybody say, I want joy for 1 year, but after 1 year, it's okay if I get sorrow. No, nobody is going to say that, right? They say, I want to be happy forever after. Even all our movies end with a hero and heroine. They lived happily ever after. Children's stories, you know, the princess married the prince and then they lived happily. So everybody wants to be happy ever after. So they say that if you are looking for permanent happiness, do not look for it in temporary things. Look for it in that one permanent reality, that is God, that is true self. So only through spiritual knowledge, everything that we see on this world talks about outside, the internet, everything. But they say if you want to find true joy, find it within, find it in the Lord. And that is what we practice in meditation. That's what spiritual tell us. That's what the religions tell us. That find it in God, find it in the truth, find it in reality, find it in the self within, which is the truth, the reality, the consciousness. So then alone you will have permanent joy. Otherwise, you will have joys and sorrows, ups and downs. So focus on the real and forget the unreal. So remember, the world is not real. There is a reality underneath. The world is not separate from me. We are all one. And the world cannot give me joy and sorrow if I find the source of joy within. It's a very beautiful verse. And I don't know if I was able to convince you of the three of them, or at least two out of three, maybe one out of three. So, any comments? So we are not saying that you should become a stone and live like a rock. You know, if somebody is very happy and getting married, it's okay, no problem. And then somebody's mother died, you say, you know, that's how life is. You know, people are come and go and they're born. We are not saying that. You know, we are saying that, yes, if when there is a joy, you enjoy things. If somebody is celebrating a wedding or a birth of a new child, you go and have, you know, joy with them. And then somebody is, you know, sad and dying. Obviously, you go there, you feel bad because somebody's mother passed away or something. And then you share their, you know, your sorrow with them. Or if somebody close to you passes away, obviously you will have joy and sorrows. But what we are saying is that do not get overwhelmed either with joy. Oh, I am the greatest person on earth. I am in the top of the world and I am the greatest. Because tomorrow you will be on the bottom. You know, today you are on top, tomorrow you will be down. Today you are happy, tomorrow you will be unhappy. And same thing if you're sorrowful, if there's a problem, don't get so depressed that start taking pills and antidepressants and then going to, you know, to a psychiatrist and then going, you know, committing suicide or becoming. So a wise person sees that in life there will be joys and sorrows. In the Gita it says, sama shatro cha mitre cha tatha mana apamane yoha shitoshna sukha dukheshu sama sanga vivarjita. Krishna says the wise person is one who in the presence of joys and sorrows, success and failure, heat and cold, remains equanimous. He says, yes, there will be joys and he will enjoy with the person who is having fun. And somebody is sorrowful, he will share that person's sorrow. But inside he knows that this all is an activity that is going on and I am participating in that. And more than that, he may have compassion for others, but when his own body, when he has some bodily pain or some emotional stress or some success and failure, he does not get himself so depressed or so disappointed or so sorrowful or so miserable. Because A, the person knows that what is today sorrow will tomorrow become joy. What is tomorrow joy will become sorrow. So he doesn't get too caught up and become extremely happy when he's happy and then extremely sad when he's sad. Because then your life is like a roller coaster. One day you're up and then one day you're down and then one day you're, you know, in the top of the world. And then you are letting the world dictate to you whether you should be happy or unhappy. But if I discover that source of happiness within, that is through meditation, through prayer, through right knowledge, then I say, okay, In life, there will be joys and sorrows. Tomorrow, today I'm healthy, tomorrow my body will be going. And ultimately, I will be buried or cremated. Even his own death, a wise person can go through with equanimity. Because he realizes, I am that eternal self. I am never going to die. This body of mine will be perished and will be buried or cremated. But I am eternal. So once you discover that eternal essence within, then you see that same essence without. Then such a person remains stable. Sama means he remains stable. He does not get disturbed, does not get excessively happy, does not get excessively sad, but remains stable and balanced and understands that the things are changing. That is the essence. So that is the message of all the scriptures, that discover the truth within and then go through life as it is and use your body, mind and intellect not to only enjoy but to serve. Why are you on this earth? Only two reasons. One is to serve and one is to realize God. There is no other reason why you are on this earth. There are only two goals that everybody should have. Yes, I need to earn a living, I need to have, but my main purpose on earth is to realize God, to become one with Him, and service is one of the best ways. By serving the world unselfishly without expecting, I am becoming one, and I see the world as one, and I serve them. So through service and through the right knowledge, you become. So that is the only purpose of life. So use your body, mind and intellect. Of course, you have to experience objects, emotions and thoughts. But do not get too caught up. And remember, why am I on this earth? I'm not here only to have fun and khao, piyo, maja karo, have, eat and drink and be merry. No, I'm here on earth for two purposes. Main purpose actually is to realize. And everything else is secondary to God realization. As a young person, obviously you have to work and study and graduate and earn a living and all that. But through all my life, I should never forget, why am I on this earth?
With the rishis or understanding that when people die, they
don't
awaken these
palaces? No. By dying, you don't suddenly get enlightened. You can only get enlightened in this life. When you die ignorant, you will remain ignorant. You have to come back and continue your spiritual journey till you realize the truth. It actually is. That's what they say. What is realization? It is waking up. Just as from deep sleep, you wake up to this world. So realization is just wake up to that higher world. It's very simple. You just say, I am that, and wake up to that. That's what the rishis say. But of course, it's not that easy because we have so many lifetimes of ignorance and vasanas and habits and tendencies. So through spiritual practice, you slowly, slowly reduce your... That's what we say, mana shodhanam, purify your mind. Purify your mind, remove these negativities, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred. And through constant remembrance of the Lord and remembering that God is not only outside but me, as my true self, the more you remember that, the more you apply that, and it will become clear by itself once your mind is purified. Once you purify your mind, the knowledge will come itself. Just as when there is a dirt on the glass and the sunlight is not coming in, you don't say that the sunlight is not there. Sunlight is there, but my room is so dark because my glass is covered with dirt. The more I clean the glass, the more the sunlight shines in and my house gets lit. The sunlight was always there, but it was my ignorance, my darkness of my windows that prevented the sunlight from coming in. So the consciousness is already within us. We are already that, but it is my ignorance. So as I purify the mind, that consciousness will shine through. And that's why when you are in the presence of a saint, you say that is God himself. When people who stood in front of Jesus or Guru Nanak or Raman Maharishi or these great Mahatmas, when they stood there, they could see God. Why? Because they had absolutely no negativity. They had total universal love. And so that is what we have to do. We have to develop that within us. So that's why reading the scriptures is important. That's why I'm trying to cover this text, because this is a preliminary step. You can say, I'm going to sit and meditate. But your mind will not become quiet unless it is purified. So that's why I think reading these books and applying this knowledge is very important. It is as simple as waking up. You can wake up and say, I am that. But it takes time. Just as from deep sleep, to wake up takes time. You know, you can't instantly get up and get going. So similarly, it's not that hard. Not that I have reached or anything. I just talk about it. I am as ignorant as the rest of you, but I just try to share whatever little I know from my teacher.